And Nelson pretty much assisted me. So thanks to Nelson. You know, Audie, God does work in great and wonderful and mysterious ways. And the presentation this morning is very conducive to the theme of what you presented this morning. And I want to thank you for that. You know, you did your 25% thing there, and you know, these two here, if you can still see them, to me, kind of wash each other out. It's these two here that we need to live in such a way that no one has anything bad to say about us, and that's letting our light shine and our glory to God emulate through to where we can lead people to Christ. So I really appreciate the lesson. You know, the purpose of life that you presented that first thing, and just there's many things that will overlap here as far as the idea of it, and especially the fifth one down, life is a series of problems, and it's interesting because oftentimes when I give a lesson, I try to relate something I personally experienced in my life that can maybe shed some light or help. So that's a lot of motivation for lessons I give is just my own life's experiences that I can perhaps share, and we can gain from that and associate our own life's experiences with God's will in our lives. Now, when we think of a charted course, many things may come to mind depending on your own life's experiences. For people that have been on boats, perhaps a boat comes to mind as a sailor, an airplane pilot, if you're a backpacker driving across the country, bus systems, even satellites in orbit have a charted course. And there's a commonality with all of these, and that is they have to do with navigating. They have to do with something that's been drawn out, something that's been planned. And that course is followed, and it navigates its way, or you navigate your way through that course that's been charted to get to the end. That's the idea of it. So if you think of a satellite, well, it keeps going. Well, no, it goes into orbit. It has its starting point from the ground, and then it circles. And each time it makes a circle, there's a finish and an end, in a sense. So that has to be charted out. So, of course, Christianity should come to mind, too, when you think of a charted course. I don't have it on my written list, but it should be there in our minds. Hey, it worked. Starting point. Now, the pictures I chose are from my personal experience. These are copies that I scanned from 1985. The bow of the boat you see behind the one in front is the boat that I was on. It was a 68-foot old LCM military landing craft that was converted to hold salmon. The bow comes down. We have taken it on the beach, and the bow came down when we did a delivery of oil barrels to a place in French Creek, Canada. I could go on. But the point is, I'm exemplifying a starting point when we are leaving Kodiak Island. We actually left Agagic, but this is a picture when we left Kodiak Island to go across the Gulf of Alaska down through the Inside Passage to our final destination of Seattle. And we've heard many times Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's a starting point, isn't it? Isn't that the starting point for us, to hear about Christ, to know about Christ? How, if you don't have faith, if you don't have any ideology or understanding spiritually, this is the starting point. And once you begin to hear the word more and more, then of course it goes from there, and you are convicted, and you become baptized, and you choose to continue to follow in Christ's way. So, in 1985, when I was a salmon tender in Agagic, Alaska, there's a lot of Aleut names up there that are pretty strange. But this is north of the Aleutian Chain in Bristol Bay off the Bering Sea. Let me see here. Yeah, there we go. And if you, boy, I get to use a pointer. This is my first time, I think. But lest I forget that one, Bill. But three of us, the oldest being 22, who was the captain, myself just turning 21, and the mechanic who was 23. So we combined experience at 64 years, if I did my math right. But no, 65. Six. Yeah. 21, 22, and 23. Okay. But we were right in this area, right in here. And the closest point to get through over down this way is a place called False Pass right in here. And we took this boat all the way through here, stopped at Kodiak Island, and that's the previous picture you saw, us leaving from Kodiak Island and Kodiak across through here. And then right around in the Sikkim area is where we went in to the Inside Passage all the way down to Seattle. Now, we had to chart a course. You cannot make that journey without charting a course. It would be just about impossible, especially with three young men of little faith at the time. And maybe we had more faith than we realized to even be able to, you know, take this type of journey. But, you know, until we reached Seattle, we endured storms, engine trouble, all kinds of things, good and bad. Beautiful sunrises, sunsets, moonlit nights, wildlife coming out of the water from whales to porpoises to bald eagles. I could go on and on. And if you keep in mind spiritually here, the analogy that I'm, the picture I'm painting, and which is now the experience I relate to my Christianity. God sent his son with a course for us to follow. Jesus charted the course for us. The previous course, or chart, if you will, that God had put in place through the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses was only able to help us navigate so far as mankind. We could only go so far. Got to a certain point. I do not have Hebrews up on a slide because I'm going to be reading starting in chapter 7, verses 11 through 28. If you'd like to go old school and open your books, you can follow along. Chapter 11, or chapter 7, starting in verse 11. I've got to get there myself. Here we go. I was in the wrong book. It says, if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek? Not in the order of Aaron, for when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are priests forever in the order of Melchizedek. And that was from Psalms chapter 110. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a priest, a high priest, meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. You see, so here's this transition, as stated in Hebrews that I just read. When we first heard about Jesus, we believed what we heard in our hearts to be true. We were convicted enough to follow what we heard, as I mentioned earlier, about following his course. And so we were convicted. We just said, you know what? We're going to follow this path. We're going to follow this plan that's laid before us. And so we do. But unfortunately, we often find ourselves deviating from that path or that charted course, don't we? As Audie brought up many times, called trials and tribulations, temptations that would have us deviate from that path, from that course. Instead, what do we want to do? And the reason we deviate is because we want to follow our own course, don't we? Anytime we deviate from Christ's path, from Christ's course, it's why? It's because we want to follow our own. Well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, and I will read it. Maybe I have that one written up. Yes, I do. At that time, declares the Lord, the bones of the kings and officials of Judah, the bones of the priests and prophets, and the bones of the people of Jerusalem will be removed from their graves. This was like blasphemy. This, you have to understand, Judah turned their back on God. They did not want to repent. And Jeremiah was warning. And he was warning them, and he's going to tell them that this was going to happen. And this was a bad thing. They will be exposed to the sun and the moon and all the stars, the heavens, which they have loved and served, and which they have followed and consulted and worshipped. They will not be gathered up or buried, but will be like refuse lying on the ground. Wherever I banish them, all the survivors of this evil nation will prefer death to life, declares the Lord Almighty. Say to them, this is God telling Jeremiah, this is what the Lord says. When men fall down, do they not get up? When a man turns away, does he not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit, they refuse to return. I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. No one repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Each pursues his own course like a horse charging into battle. It was to their destruction. Christ came from the tribe of Judah. We just read that in Hebrews. And Judah, Jerusalem, was devastated, was destroyed. Are we not, metaphorically speaking, Jerusalem, our bodies, our temples that we have, that we house the Holy Spirit, and time again, we turn off the course and we sin? Are we all going to hell? No. It's through God's grace and his mercy that through a repentant heart we will receive eternal life. Repentance is key. The people of Judah, they lost perspective. Their hearts turned. And that happens to us, doesn't it, sometimes? Without a chart, without a course for us to follow, we'd be lost. That's a nautical chart. Looks like foreign reading, doesn't it? These are similar charts we use to navigate our way. There are so many waterways and byways and little bays and inlets, and not to mention the expanse of the Gulf of Alaska for a 68-foot boat. 12-foot swells tossed it about like nothing, to where we had to find refuge in a bay called Yakutat, which is on the northern side of the Gulf of Alaska. We too need to seek refuge once in a while. When we're getting tossed about and we feel helpless and don't know what to do, and you know, it's like, you know, when we're out there, your eyes get the size of golf balls when you see the whole bow of that steel structure from World War II going like this, and knowing that that flat bow could spring a leak and we could do a nosedive. Spiritually, we get that way. What do you do? We're starting to do a nosedive. How do I get out of this? Where do you seek refuge? Sometimes we seek refuge one to another by sharing each other's burdens, as Galatians tells us to do. The Galatian letter. Sometimes we decide, oh, we can handle it ourselves. And we allow our pride to handle it. Other times we may decide, hey, you know what? Lord, help me. Earnest prayer. Turn to God. It's in your hands. That's where that faith comes in. That's where that trust in the Lord prevails. And believe me, my eyes were golf balls several times in those 22 days, because that's the amount of time it took us to get from Bristol Bay to down to Seattle. Jesus came to earth to show us a perfect way, a path that leads to an eternal destination. We believe that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I presented this picture because this is a huge cruise liner. And you can see a part of the side of the boat that we're on. Where's that ship going? To me, I mean, there's a narrow passageway. It's called the Inside Passage. And it's a wonder how these liners can go through this inside passage. There's places where you could about jump to land on one side as you're going through. They're just really deep channels. And, you know, few enter through. And that's, you know, this came to mind. You know, that it's a difficult path. It's a difficult course. Trials, tribulations, challenges. So only a few find it, the road that leads to life. You know, in Genesis chapter 4, God admonished Cain. And he said, I think I put this on a slide. Yes. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what is right, do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." This was before Cain killed Abel. Right before. These were God's words to Cain just before he killed Abel, after they brought their offerings to God. And it doesn't give us specifically why God was displeased with Cain. I imagine it was heart-based. But, and then Cain goes and kills his flesh and blood. What did he do? He chose to follow his own course, not God's. Was it pride that got in the way? Who knows? But his actions proved louder than words. He went and killed his brother, and he was cursed for it. Now, I'm going to explain this picture. This happened on the inside passage where we went in around Sitka, there's actually a place called Excursion Inlet between there and Ketchikan, which is an inland city. On the inside passage, we had an oil pump that went out. We had two twin engines, diesel engines, and oil pump went out in one just as we got into the inside passage. We just come through a big deal in the Gulf of Alaska there. And if you're not familiar with boating, if you have two engines, you depend on them. I was starting to have the same problem Audie had with this. But we pretty much were in a box, okay? That's what those LCMs were. Here's the pilot house. Okay, now, when you're going along and you have two engines, you can pretty much be on a steady course. You can maintain a steady course, and you can use autopilot to do that. If one of these goes out, here's what your boat does. It goes like this. And then you have to correct it. And then you do this again. Then you have to correct it and do this again. This is a little dramatic, but you get the idea. It's kind of a continual thing to stay on the course, even with autopilot. Because autopilot is geared to use both engines. Now, think about our spiritual lives. When we're not running spiritually the way we should be, don't we do this a lot? Don't we get off course a lot because we're not in tune spiritually? And this is what results when you're not in tune spiritually. You wreck. Now see the black section behind my flash with my little Instamatic? This was 1985. Digital didn't exist. I'm surprised it came out this well. See that black area on top of your screen? That's how dark it was. We were in the inside passage. I could barely see the hand in front of my face standing on the deck of the boat with all of our lights off. It was that dark. I've never experienced anything darker outside of shutting my eyes and going in a closet. Your eyes were wide open, and the mechanic was using radar to guide us through this inside passage. I was asleep with the captain, and we heard a thunderous boom. Well, a 56-foot Canadian gill netter was going like this, and that's what happened. He wasn't taking on water, but apparently he was indulging in testing libations, I guess, which maybe influenced his nautical awareness, and that was the result. We weren't taking on water. We exchanged insurance information just like you do with the car, and you report it and go on your way. Now you're in the middle of really nowhere and everywhere. But you know, just relate that to our spirituality, this example I gave, and try to think about our own lives and how we are trying to stay on that path. We're trying to stay on that course that Christ has laid out for us. And we try so hard sometimes. And then we have an engine go out. And boom, we go off course. Matthew 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is another picture I took out on sea. All these pictures, except the nautical chart one, came from my archives. But he is the light of the world. And he knows our hearts. And if we are trying, and he knows we're going to fail. But through that failure, through our trials, through our tribulations, are we able to do what's right and pick ourselves back up and continue on the journey? That makes a difference. Or are we quick to throw our hands up and just say, forget it, I quit? And there are many, many among us that have done that. And we all may have different ones that come to our mind. It's nothing new. Jesus can guide us through the darkness if we stay the course. To finish up, if we do or let our lights go out, if we start covering our lights, we'll end up wrecking. We'll end up wrecking. Will you be happy? You know? He said, well, you know, we all want to be happy, but are you going to forsake your spiritual course in pursuit of the happiness that Audie was presenting to us? What is it worth if you lose your own soul? It's not. Galatians 6:9 encourages us, do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is the port of Seattle. 1,600 air miles later, which converts to add another, at least another 400 nautical miles to that. But this is the port. This was our destination that we were getting to. And we did. I'm here now. But spiritually, our destination, you know, it's heaven. Already touched on 1 Peter 1. But he didn't go on into verse 4 about our destination. Jesus has a place for our souls eternally. It's prepared. It's there. Christ is a perfecter. He came in all of his perfection and died that we might reach our final destination. So let's stay the course and ask God to daily to help us do that. So hope the lesson was edifying to each of you. And once again, thank Audie for visiting and sharing some of his thoughts with us. At this time, we will offer a song of invitation for those that perhaps have strayed from the course, that need guidance or have never experienced starting the course and would like to do so at this time. Come forward as we sing.